You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday saw the introduction of the Fair Pay Agreements Bill to Parliament. The bill will provide a regulatory foundation for setting pay and conditions across whole industries through negotiations between employers and workers through their unions. This morning, I spoke to Annie Newman from the New Zealand Trade Union E2 about what the bill will mean for workers and E2's role in developing legislation. I just have to apologise for some crackly audio on this piece before we jump into it. I'm sure you'll still be able to hear what Annie and I are talking about, and here we are now. Could you begin by explaining to me what the Fair Pay Agreements Bill is?
The Fair Pay Agreements Bill is about providing all workers in New Zealand with the opportunity to be part of a sector or industry or occupation-based agreement. So it steps away from the traditional enterprise or employer-based agreement and provides a standard across whole sectors that's relevant to those sectors. And this creates regulation. So it's a little bit like the minimum wage, which is a regulated wage. This is a regulated standard for an industry or occupation.
And which industries do you think this will impact the most?
The goal is to raise minimum standards for workers who currently live in poverty and often have insecure work, poor health and safety standards, and limited access to training. The first cabs off the ramp in that sense are going to be workers like cleaners, security guards, supermarket workers, bus drivers. So there are many sectors that have missed out on the wealthy times that many in New Zealand have experienced, and it's those sectors that will be the first fair pay agreement.
How long has it taken to get here?
Well, this has been many years, and it would be fair to say that E2 has been campaigning for about 4 or 5 years for this. So when the Labor government came in 5 years ago, they started a working party which brought together Business New Zealand, unions and government, and they worked together on developing a proposal for sector-based bargaining. And that proposal was unable to get off the ground because there was a coalition government in place at the time and New Zealand First didn't support it. Once the new government came in and it had a Labor, it was a fully Labor government, they went ahead in order to draft a proposal that would meet the terms of the original Working Party report. Business New Zealand has decided that they don't agree with it, but they were fully part of about 2 years of negotiation through a Working Party.
And now that this has been passed, what is E2's role in these ongoing discussions on developing the legislation for this?
Our role will be to keep an eye on that development, make sure that we're addressing the misunderstandings that end up in the public domain about it, that we put up clearly the reasons through our own members who have lived experience about the benefits for working people and for their families and communities, and that we are ensuring that there are plenty of those submissions. So not just submissions from the experts, but submissions from workers on the ground who have an experience of seeing their wages being driven down to the lowest possible level. And so what they tell us all the time is we have to stop the race to the bottom. If you're a contracted worker, what happens is that your deal is not done by employers and unions bargaining across the deal at the table. Your wages are dependent on how much the funder, which could be government or a bank, is prepared to put into the procurement services that they acquire. And so what's really important about this is it'll create a level playing field and people will be competing on the same level in terms of wages and conditions, and that takes those things out of competition.
And what is the kind of kōrero and feedback you're hearing from workers who will be directly affected by this?
What they're saying is that this will stop the race to the bottom. And the reason why I use that phrase is it actually came from them. It came from our members who have spent many years as security guards and cleaners struggling to get better wages, no matter how much they unionise, no matter how much they bargain, because in the end, the cleaning company or the security company can only pay as much as they get from the funder. So it's a very much a lived experience. The other thing for them is that they can't make ends meet. You know, we know that they're essential workers and our safety and our health has been dependent on them, but they actually don't earn enough money to feed the kids and to live a decent life. So it's not a lot to ask for. These people aren't looking for luxury. They're looking for safe workplaces and workplaces where they have some security and a decent income. And that is the overwhelming cry from a low-paid worker. How do they make ends meet? How do they move beyond juggling those necessities?
Can I ask finally, with borders opening and a skill shortage in so many industries in New Zealand, do you think this will help to retain us here and who might have been thinking about perhaps looking for opportunities overseas that might pay them a little better?
Well, I think that that's right. And if you look at Australia, you'll see that they actually have an award system that provides a baseline of regulation, of regulated standards. And what that's meant is that they never had the collapse in their employment market that New Zealand went through in the 90s. And so workers just, of course, they went to Australia. If you were in hospitality, you would have been mad not to go to Australia and earn money because you could earn a third more than you could in New Zealand. So what we've got to do is actually create a high-wage economy, not a low-wage economy, and that way people can stay here with their whānau. They can actually build families and buy houses and live a decent life. And I think we're driving people away because they're going to countries where they can get more. So New Zealand's a beautiful place to live, but at the end of the day, you've got to feed families, and that's what matters. So far, we haven't seen a lot in the media, but we've certainly seen Business New Zealand saying that they don't want fair pay agreements because it will increase wages. They've actually said it will increase wages. And this morning on radio, the EMA said, they don't want it because it will cause